Hymn 526. We'll begin with stanza 1. 526. From Luke chapter 22. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. A gentleman once sat in a barber shop reading the newspaper. He read how someone had walked into City Hall, pulled out a gun, and shot and killed the mayor. Then he had walked down the hall to another councilman's office, and he had shot and killed him. The killer was himself a well-known city councilman. But because he had eaten sugar-coated cereal for breakfast, he claimed that he had a diminished capacity to control himself, and so he was not convicted of first-degree murder. After his haircut, the gentleman went out to his car to find a parking ticket jauntily perched on his windshield. He would not be able to get out of that citation. Does it ever seem to you that things are just a little out of whack in our world? Of course, with people there is the human factor. We do make mistakes. But what about the two young people, both involved in motorcycle accidents? Neither of them had a helmet, but one of them survived and the other did not. Why? In the 12th chapter of Acts, two disciples were taken prisoner by Herod. One of the disciples was killed with the sword. But the night before Herod was going to bring the second prisoner into court, an angel miraculously released him from prison, saved his life. Why one and not the other? Throughout our lives, we face such puzzles, don't we? The disciples faced such a puzzle in the Garden of Gethsemane that night. They knew their Master Jesus. They had seen him make storms stop with a word. They knew his power. And they had seen him make a whip from ropes and drive the money changers and animals out of the courts of the temple. They knew his zeal. They remembered the words of the prophet, "The zeal of your house has eaten me up." And they knew, too, that one greater than the temple was here, and that was their rabbi, Jesus. And yet, he who for God's house had swung his whip, knocked over tables, and come down hard on the temple merchants, he now rebukes his disciples for zealously defending him who is greater than the temple. He tells them, "That's enough now. Put your swords away." Now the Savior who had said, "Woe to the man who betrays me," now he actually helps the enemy and he undoes the progress that his zealous disciples have made with their two swords. Why? What's going on? You can imagine the confusion of his disciples. But we can see what's going on, can't we? Jesus had said, the time is at hand, and now he willingly goes with his captors to drink the cup that will save us all. How important that willingness is for our salvation. If he had needed to be forced, then he would not have been one with his Father, would not have been perfect, could not have died for another man. But God's will must be done. And Jesus was so sure that God's will was the very best thing that could ever be done, even when it meant, because of sin, agony, mockery, and death. If this was the will of his Father, and his prayer in the garden had helped him realize that there was no other way, if his Father so willed it, Jesus was not about to let even his friends' ideas overrule it. Nor would he let the high priest's servant suffer to save the Savior. It was Jesus who came to save him. And it was Jesus who calmly reached down, picked up the ear, and put it back where it belonged. We too may have wonderful ideas and projects for helping Jesus, for gaining crowds to follow him. But if it goes against the Father's will, if it compromises his word, it will not do. If we have to join in robbing the bank in order to win the bank robber for Jesus, then we have won nothing. How often haven't we thought we knew exactly how Jesus should advance his way, should work in our life? Maybe we've even offered our skills and energy for his cause. And when our way was not followed, how did we respond? Did we say, not my will, but yours be done? Or did we turn and run away into the dark night? Bewildered, maybe even hurt, because our way was not followed. The only way we can avoid running away is by trusting that Jesus knows what he's doing. The cross, which paid even for the sins of which we're unaware, and the empty tomb, which Jesus saw ahead of him and ahead of us, is what will convince us that he knows what he's doing, even if we don't. And so for all those times that we don't understand what's going on or why, let us remember Gethsemane and be assured that our Savior will do what is best, whether we understand or not. And so may we build on Christ, who loves us. Amen. The last two stanzas, 4 and 5.